We used to have a thing we did at churches where at the beginning of the year we'd begin reading through the Bible, and then as folks finished, we'd give them a certificate. I might think about doing that next year. Have you done that before, Brother Hickson, where you give certificates for reading through the Bible? Yeah. Judges 13, there's a fellow in this passage that is named over and over and over. His name is used so often, it just can't be anything but the Lord trying to tell us, or not trying, but just pointing something out. And the name's Manoah. Manoah's son, we know all about. If I named his son, just like that, you know who it is. It's Samson. And I have for ever and ever wanted to put a P in his name. It's just S-A-M-S-O-N. And Samson is a man whose name means like the sun. And you understand that in the Old Testament that many of the judges are a picture of Christ in one way or another. And is Samson not a picture of strength? Amen? Is there any strength that is insufficient as far as God's concerned? The answer is no. And Samson was a man that had sufficient strength as long as he was in God's will and in one particular area. We'll talk about him in weeks to come. But Manoah, his father, Manoah is a man whose name means rest, R-E-S-T, as in taking it easy is one definition of that, or not working. The older I get, the more I enjoy rest. Sometimes I get so tired, and somebody asked one time, when do you retire? I think you would retire when you can't stand being tired anymore. And maybe you can last longer than others. I know pastors that have gone into their 80s and 90s and still serve the Lord. We'll see what the Lord does. But when the older you get, the more frequently you are fatigued and you need to rest. And it is good to rest at the right time. Amen. For example, on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I kind of suspect that Brother Greg was tired from a day at school. But instead of resting, he came to God's house to pray. Amen? And some of us are just tired from living the day. And still, I'll look at him. After church, okay, brother? The pizza contest is expanding. I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, Manoah was a man that his rest was excessive. He was resting at times when he shouldn't have been resting. And you'll see some of that. He's not a man that you would want to be like. He is a man that God used. And is it not true that God uses us even when we don't deserve it? In fact, I guarantee you, if God uses you, it's not because we deserve it. It's because God is merciful. And God used Manoah. But the interesting thing is, and as we read the passage, and it's kind of long, but we'll read all the way down to verse 23. When the angel is talking to somebody, the angel goes and finds Manoah's wife. That's telling. That's interesting. Kind of get a sense that perhaps Manoah's wife was closer to the Lord than Manoah was. Or perhaps she was a better listener to the Lord than Manoah was. Undoubtedly, the angel, again and again, on at least a couple of occasions, goes to her rather than Manoah. And then when the entire exchange is finished at the end, Manoah says, "Oh no, we've seen God, we're going to die." And that's telling as well. Manoah didn't really understand the Lord and didn't understand how God works. And again, it's not what we deserve, but it's God's mercy that he does what he does. It's going to take a little bit, but let's just read this. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 23. Try to read kind of quickly just to get the time used wisely. But stay with me as we go along. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Judges chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be called a Nazarite unto God from the womb. and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your people, for this church, for the blessing you are to us. Lord, thank you that even as Manoah, sometimes we don't understand what you're doing, but when you are working, we can depend upon you to do things through us if we will allow you to use us. And I pray we would be cooperative as he was, but I pray that perhaps we'd have more discernment. I pray that we would not be at rest when it was time to work. I pray that we would not be without discernment when it was time to know the truth. And I just pray you'd bless us. And in these next few minutes, let us see some things that would help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We had a school in Maryland, and we had a dress code. And part of the dress code specified that young men's hair was to be above the ears and off the collar and tapered in the back. And that's always a battle to enforce standards, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a battle. It's not a question of whether or not my standards are perfect. The fact is, the school has a right to establish standards. Amen. And for example, in Maryland, we wore ties. The dress code there was much more strict than it is here. And anyway, we asked people to give their young people a haircut. So there was this little boy in K-3. And about halfway through the year, his hair got longer and longer and longer, and the teacher wasn't paying attention to it. And before you know it, he started looking like a girl. He had long hair, and it was growing fast. I don't know, they must have been feeding him a lot of something, and it was long. It was over his ears. It was down over his collar. It wasn't anything close to tapered. And so the teacher, somebody brought it to the teacher's attention. This young man needs a haircut. The teacher wrote a note and sent it home to the parents. And the parents promptly came to the school for a meeting with us and said, well, we can't cut his hair. And we said, well, why is that? Well, the apostle in our church told us that this little boy is going to be a prophet. If he cuts his hair, then he'll lose that blessing. And I said, well, maybe he's not supposed to be in our school because we don't, in the first place, you don't understand what a prophet is. And in the second place, you don't know what an apostle is. But either way, we've got a dress code and you can either abide by it or you can go somewhere else. And Deborah, did they wind up cutting his hair? Did he leave school? I forgot. Yeah, they cut his hair. That's what it was. They cut his hair. So I guess going to school is more important than being a prophet. Amen? Oh, come on, folks. Just read your Bible and you understand a lot of things. God doesn't expect little boys to keep their hair long so they can be a prophet someday. But in Samson's case, back in the Old Testament, there was a thing called a Nazirite vow. It's very legitimate. It's biblical. It is not the same as being from Nazareth, by the way. The Lord was a Nazarene, not a Nazirite. And the word Nazirite is a different source. But the Nazirite vow was a vow where a man would allow his hair to grow long. And what does the Bible say in Corinthians? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. I did not originate this. I was taught this. So if you disagree with me, you can talk to Brother Hicks and he'll fix you up. But what I've been taught is that the Nazirite vow, part of it was that this person with the Nazirite vow was wearing long hair, which made them stand out, and which was a shame to have long hair. And that it was identifying with the shame of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was part of the Nazirite vow. On top of that, there were certain things they couldn't eat and certain things they couldn't touch. And we'll see all that as we go through Samson's life. But that's what Samson's all about. Now, I won't read it again, but if you were listening as I read through the passage, the angel three different times explained what had to be done. The first two times he told Manoah's wife, And Manoah's wife told Manoah, and then Manoah goes to the angel and says, I don't know what to do. Isn't it funny how sometimes we have to hear from God several times before we catch on? And so the angel was very gracious, and on the third occasion told Manoah what needed to be done, how to raise this child. I believe with all my heart, first of all, just obvious things from the book of Psalms. The Bible says God formed us in the womb. God knew all about us, even when we were, even before we were conceived, even before we existed in our mother's womb at all, God knew all about us, exactly what he was going to do with us, and he knew what our life would be like. But our God is such a great God, he can create someone who has free will and still know what that will is going to be. God knew who would and who would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a very fine line. You say, well, God made it happen. No, God knew it would happen, but God provided for it, if you will. And it's so, for example, if someone says, well, the reason I never got saved is because God never made me get saved, never allowed me to get saved. No, the Bible says in Romans that we are without excuse. And the Bible says that there will not be anybody that can stand before God and say, I have an excuse for not getting saved. That says that the creation shows that there's a God. Why do you think the devil's attacking creation so vehemently for the last 100 and some odd years? Because creation declares that there's a God. People say that they've gotten smarter and smarter and smarter, but kind of funny how back in the 1800s people realized there was a creator and they're supposed to be so smart now, and now they don't get that anymore. I don't think people are getting smarter. Not wiser anyway, not smarter either really. But so God makes provision. And in your life and mine, God makes provision, doesn't he? And as I'm learning in my life, and as I'd like for you to know as well, we can trust God with what's coming. Amen. Two times in this last week, Sunday night and again last night, I kind of, it's hard to explain because some of it's kind of confidential, but I kind of sat back and watched God do some amazing things. And one of them, and again, I just can't get into the details for the sake of confidentiality, but Sunday night as I was preaching, there were a couple of verses in that passage that I wasn't quite sure what they meant. And I in fact, one verse, I was just stumped. And then as I began to preach, it became clear to me And I'm not trying to make myself look good, but the Holy Spirit shows me things. He shows you things too, amen?
Amen?
And I saw what that verse meant, and I thought, wow, what an amazing verse. And it had to do, of course, if you remember, with the cost of idolatry, and just the profound thought there that the idolatry was horrible because it literally cost some people their families. There were people that came over to the Lord's side that had to leave their brother or their sister or their mother or their father in order to do that. And mother, sister, brother, or father might have stayed back and wound up being some of those that were judged. But when it comes down to it, no matter who stays on that side, we've got to choose the Lord's side.
Amen.
It was a blessing to me when I saw that Sunday night. And then last night, through some series of discussions we had with my daughter, God did some great things as well. Folks, I really think you're going to get to heaven. Nope, I don't really think. I know you're going to get to heaven. You're going to look back on a bunch of situations in your life that you were worried about and find out God had it in control all the time.
Amen.
Just let the Lord do what he wants to do. Manoah, he seems a nervous kind of fellow, doesn't he? Here at the end of the passage, he says, oh no, we're going to die. And his wife, and I can hear, and I don't like it when people condescend against male leadership in the family. The men ought to be the leader in the family. Amen? But Manoah, he wasn't doing his job. He was at rest in that category. And when he exclaims there, if you look at it in verse 22, he says, we shall surely die. The voice of reason came from the very same woman that the angel had been wanting to talk to. And I just got to help. I can't help but think the angel knew this woman's going to understand what I say to her. Manoah might not get it. Manoah was at rest when it came to leading his family. In this story, and I won't read the verses to you again, I think you see it, time and time again, it was his wife that was the one that received the instruction. It was his wife was the one that calmed him. And I'll say to all the men here, and I think you all know it, but we all need to hear it once in a while, we ought to be the leader in the home.
Amen?
Amen? And we shouldn't have to depend on our wife to make up for our lack of leadership. It's just simple. And Manoah very simply did. He was at rest in that area. I don't want to read too much into this, but I do know, as you look at his example here, that he seems to be a little farther behind than she is. He's a little farther behind when it comes to hearing from the Lord. He's a little farther behind when it comes to knowing to discerning what God said. And she very calmly, and again, I can't help but chuckle. She says, you know, I think if God was going to kill us, he probably wouldn't have told us all this, huh? You know, I mean, why did God just come and make all these promises to us so he could kill us? That tells you a lot about Manoah. He just wasn't where he ought to be. Folks, we can trust God.
Amen.
He keeps his promises. And he's not there to quickly judge and kill you when he just finished saying he wants to use you. So his leadership in the home was at rest. You can see that over and over again. His walk with the Lord was at rest. It wasn't until the third time that the angel came along that Manoah finally heard from him. We ought to be hearing from God. Amen?
Amen.
We went to this men's retreat, this men's conference back a few months back. And well, wasn't that long ago, what, October? And you remember the message, Greg, that he preached? Maybe you weren't in there. It was one of the sessions that they had. And the fellow was talking about having devotions. I think you were in another session. Yeah. And he talked about having devotions. And he was kind of an emotional fellow. And that kind of set me back a little bit. But he did a good job. And he said, you know, what you don't understand when you have a devotion is God really wants to talk to you. God really wants to say something to you. He when you read your Bible, if you come to your Bible with the mindset of, And I can't imagine anyone doing this, but if you open your Bible and said, ah, this isn't going to make any difference. I read the Bible before and I didn't see anything, so I don't even think I'm going to see anything today either. I don't think you will. But if you come to the Bible and open the Bible and you say, Lord, speak to me and pray and let him talk to you. And then I remember something a pastor told me that just sunk in so well. He said, God doesn't always talk to us about what we're interested in. Sometimes he talks to us about what he's interested in. So when you start reading, if it's not what your problem today is, that doesn't mean God doesn't want to talk to you. Maybe your problem today is not as important as something else God wants to talk to you about. And God wants to talk to us. But poor old Manoah, he was kind of at rest in that category. He didn't hear from the Lord until later on. And then he didn't even understand who he was hearing from. And then when he finally did understand who he was hearing from, he thought he was going to be killed. And all the way through, he's just kind of not quite where he ought to be in the front. He's too much at rest. Let's look at the last couple of things here. Look at verse 17. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" Now, I suppose, again, he doesn't really understand who he's talking to, but who deserves all the honor? The Lord, amen? In your life, in my life, in our church, if anything happens, God did it. And, you know, I don't think Manoah sees that at all. I'm very sure he doesn't. And the fact that the angel says his name is secret, what that really basically means is he hadn't told you and he's not going to. And I want you to know something. Sometimes in our lives, God does things and never has to tell us why. Right. Amen? You say, well, does God keep secrets? Yeah, I'm glad he does too, because I'm sure glad I don't know a lot of things. And just like you can trust God with his works, you can trust God with his revelations. What God doesn't tell you, what God doesn't let you in on, sometimes, and again, I was talking to Brother Tom before the service, there is a very great advantage to getting older if you walk with the Lord, and that is you gain some wisdom. And I have learned over the years when, I hope, I'm getting better a little bit, when not to ask questions. And I found out something. As a pastor, God will let me know what I need to know. And if God doesn't want me to know, he may never tell me. And that's okay. I don't have to know everything. At the end of the day, the angel's name is not even close to the important fact here. Look what God just told him. Your barren wife is going to have a child, a very special child. And as we begin to study that child and what he does, what an amazing story. And it's kind of ironic that we just had a special guest speaker in chapel a couple of days ago, and he preached about Samson. And Samson's one of my favorite characters. In fact, I've preached his life by itself before. And so we're going to spend some time on him in days ahead. But just to kind of close it up and apply this a little bit, when you see Manoah's name, I think it is mentioned 17 times in 23 verses. Undoubtedly, God's reminding us, Manoah, rest, 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 rest. Not the guy that was where he needed to be with the Lord. It's good to get rest when you need it. But folks, let's stay busy for God. Let's stay busy talking to God. Let's stay busy hearing from God. Let's stay busy doing God's works. Let's stay busy worshiping the Lord. Let's stay busy being in our place when the time comes to do whatever it is God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. And God can give you strength to keep on doing that. And if you'll stay busy in those areas, you won't have some of these weaknesses, I'll call them, that Manoah had. Amen?